Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now though, do you find yourself spending hours in the kitchen on complicated recipes, overwhelmed by endless ingredients for little return? Well, I'm joined in the studio by award-winning chef Mark Moriarty on his brand new RTE series. It's called Cook Like a Chef. And Mark, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Cook Like a Chef. When I hear that, I go, oh no, I'm scared now. But it's not scary. I had a sneak preview of the first episode. It's actually the opposite, dare I say, of scary.
Yeah, in fairness, when I look at the title now and I'm trying to explain the elevator pitch, it's actually the exact opposite of what you think. So Cook Like a Chef, you would think maybe it's all about restaurant recipes and hours in the kitchen. But I'm taking a different angle on it, which is cooking in a restaurant is actually the easiest part. The hard part is, particularly nowadays, it's costing ingredients, it's sourcing ingredients, it's making sure we don't waste anything, and it's making sure that we're over every single cent to make sure it can be somewhat profitable as a business. And I think the same applies to your kitchen at home. Like, we all like to save money where we can. So this show is all about taking the sort of the real learnings of 10 to 15 years in restaurants, which is, how do we order effectively, or what do we buy in the supermarket? How do we make sure that we get every last drop out of every ingredient, so not wasting anything? How do we make sure the fridge is completely empty at the end of the week before we go do the shopping again, but at the same time still having variety in our menus, making sure it's delicious and making sure the family are happy? And that's the secret to this show.
Yeah, and I love that you start this series with minced meat.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you're cooking for a family, the old minced meat is going to feature at least one day of the week, I can tell you. But this dish is, it feels a little bit fancy what you've done to it, but it's very easy. I'm talking about the first dish in the programme with the fried egg and the rice.
Yeah, exactly. So what we did for each episode, there's seven episodes in this series, is I get seven core ingredients that I have to make three dishes out of. Now, we have our store cupboard, but there's nothing too out there in that. And I based it, like I do off all the recipes I do across TV shows and cookbooks and columns, is what are people actually buying? So we go to the supermarket stats from 2024, and we came up with, in episode one, I have my notes here, I came with notes today, Claire. We have minced beef, puff pastry, plain button mushrooms, one red pepper, some leftover green herbs. That's sort of like the bits of green herbs that are sort of wilting in the bottom of the fridge. Grated cheddar cheese and like half a tin of olives in case you had olives from a glass of wine at the weekend. That's all I had to use. So the first recipe is the Mongolian stir-fried beef mince. Steamed rice, fried egg. Why? Mongolian stir-fried beef is a very traditional, it's actually a Taiwanese dish. It has no relationship to Mongolia and the food there. And it traditionally uses like a flash-fried steak, so like chunks of strip loin steak or flank steak. But like everything in this series, I didn't have it. So what do? I have beef mince. And it's really simple. Really simple. Everyone uses beef mince. So all there is in the ingredients list in this is beef mince, some vegetable oil, some garlic cloves, some dried chili flakes because it's in a fresh chili, a red pepper, roughly chopped, and an onion. Now, I've added because that's something everyone has in their sort of dry larder, like onions we always buy. And then there's a very quick sauce that you make with some soy sauce from the store cupboard, honey. Traditionally, you'd use like a Chinese wine or wine vinegar. Nobody has that, so we use white wine vinegar.
Anything at all that you have.
Anything at all that's acidic. And 2 tablespoons of corn flour to thicken it all up. And it's one of these sauces that you basically put in a bowl. The soy sauce and the vinegar and the honey is so heavily seasoned that once you put the corn flour in, you throw it in on the pan on top of your fried mince and your onion and your garlic, and it thickens immediately like that sort of Chinese takeaway sauce. And then I'm always conscious midweek is I don't want anyone hungry. So I'm like, okay, what do I have to bulk this up? Because I only had 400 grams of beef mince. There's an egg in the fridge. So I just top it with a nice crispy fried egg, which you'd see a lot in sort of Asian cuisine, and some steamed plain basmati rice from the store cupboard, which adds up to about 600-700 grams of food in the bowl. And it works out at around €2.40 a portion.
And it's relatively quick as well.
Quick, 12 minutes start to finish.
Can I talk to you about frying off the mince again? I feel like I have this conversation every time, but I was feeling anxiety again last night when I was watching, right? Because you get the pan so hot, then you mash your mince onto the pan and you leave it there and you walk away and you go and do something else. And I'm going, it's burning. It's not burning, but tell me about how hot the pan should be and what colour the mince should be to have it the way you need it to be.
Yeah. So again, all my recipes, and particularly in this series, it's not about loads of fancy ingredients. It's about the basics. And if you're making sauces in restaurants, or if you're making a really simple dish at home, the amount of colour you can get on your mince or your chicken or your onions or your veg, that will have more impact on the flavour of the final dish than any fancy ingredient.
This is where I'm going wrong, because I was doing casserole steak at the weekend, and I had it up to, I mean, you don't know my hob, but it was induction at 8, and it was sort of like sitting in water as opposed to frying off. Mm. And I got impatient with it, and I didn't bread it off properly. So I'm losing out in flavour there, aren't I?
That, well, that's the impatience.
I need to have it up at the highest level.
Yes.
And not worry about it burning.
So the listeners here will all, we've all cooked beef mince, pretty much. And everyone will go through the stages. You put the oil in the pan, you put the beef on the mince in the pan, you break it up. First of all, it goes grey. Then it goes watery.
Yep.
Water will come out and it will go steamy, and it looks really grey and unappetizing. And that's the point where a lot of people get impatient and they start throwing in their tomato sauce for bolognese, whatever. That's the point where you have to wait an extra 3 minutes, because once that water evaporates, now the oil will come back into play in the pan and it will start to fry, and it will go that sort of, you know, you hear that popping sound as it sizzles. That's when it starts to turn brown. And then you turn it over and you wait exactly the same on the other side, because the more colour we get on our beef mince at that point, that's where the real flavour is going to come out at the end.
So stop standing there mashing it, turning it, and just leave it.
Every time you touch that with either a spoon or you move your pan or shake it, you're taking the heat out of the pan and you're delaying the process even further.
Okay, this is good to hear. But I do like what you do in the programme, which is you give us a close-up shot of it sort of popping and moving.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all in the details. Like, some people might find this boring from a cooking show perspective, but for me, they're the really key details. It's like, this is what it will look like at this point, and this is where you shouldn't do anything. And this is what it looks like when you should turn it. And this is what it looks like when you should move into stage two of the recipe when you go onto the RT website afterwards. So all those visual cues are way more important than me standing there talking about some flowery story about what I cooked when I was in some other part of the world. And that's why this series is called Cook Like a Chef. It's all about the basics that you can drill into your cooking every day of the week for weeks and months and years that are going to or give you better results.
Yeah, this is what I like about the program, because it doesn't hide any of your chefy skills, because I noticed there are very detailed shots of you chopping the onion and chopping the pepper, which I assume are there so that we can learn from them as well.
To a point, but also I just find that so boring on screen watching. Like, I'll probably chop an onion maybe in every recipe across the whole series. So it's very much about just put the music up for 5 seconds, show me chopping really, really quickly so it looks like I know what I'm doing for five seconds. And then let's get on to the next point that's actually key to people watching at home. Because I'm conscious. The one thing I've learned in almost 6 years of making TV shows now is it is not about me or anything. It is about who are the people watching this? What are they cooking every week? And how can we give them just at least one snippet in the 30 minutes they watch this show that they're going to take away into their own cooking at home?
I suppose what I'm trying to say, it is lovely to watch. I mean, there's even a shot, you mightn't even have been aware of this, but whoever was making the programme with you was, you're rolling out puff pastry and you throw some flour at it. And you do it in a way, and I was watching it going, if I did that, it'd be all over the floor. Can you remember how you did it? You do it from the side?
You just, yeah, well, that comes from when I worked in the greenhouse, 2 Michelin stars. We used to make 4 types of bread for every service every day, lunch and dinner.
Wow.
So you'd be making bread 8 times a day, 5 times a week I was there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you just learn to be very quick with things. And it's the way you throw the flour gets the perfect distribution so that when you put the bread on, nothing sticks. And
you see, there's loads of things we can learn from this. What about chickens then? Do they fall into the mince category of we can do more with that thing that we're probably buying every week?
Yeah. So I think it's episode 2, we go on to chicken. Chicken is the most popular meat in the world, and it's the most bought ingredient in Ireland from a protein perspective. So I spend a little bit extra on a proper bird. I spend about $8.50 on a whole chicken. And what I do is...
They are very cheap at the moment, aren't they? I mean, $8.50 is...
It's still cheap.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you're feeding your family. And if you think back to what it was, even a couple of years ago, I think the price has come down a lot.
Yeah. And I'm always conscious of people, we only have a certain amount we can spend on food every week.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some ingredients that there shouldn't be too cheap either. You start to wonder about the process. And I've been lucky enough doing a lot of work with our sponsor, Marks & Spencer's, the last few years of actually seeing how things are produced on a mass scale and taking that into the TV shows and saying, okay, well, let's make our ingredient go as far as possible because a lot of work has gone into producing this.
Mm-hmm. And you want the producer to be paid properly as well.
Well, exactly, yeah. And like that's really, really important. But then again, it comes down to our pocket. So what I do is I buy a whole chicken, I spend $8.50. And instead of buying chicken breasts that might be broken down, sometimes their chicken breasts are cut in half in a packet and you're spending extra money on it. So I take the crown off. So I'll show you in the episode, we take the legs off. And then we split the legs into the drumsticks and the thighs. Mm-hmm. You can get your butcher to do it if you want. And then we take the meat off the bone. And what we do is we chop it up nice and thinly. And we make a kung pao chicken one night with the sort of the diced up thigh and drumstick meat, which is delicious.
So you still have the crown.
So we still have the crown. So the crown, then what I do is I brine it, which is a restaurant technique where you basically give it a salt water bath for half an hour. Sounds like, why would I bother doing that? But if you're cooking it at the weekend, take a little bit extra time and it makes sure you will never have dry chicken breast again. Mm. And I do a peri-peri style. So I go into my store cupboard and I have things like chili flakes, smoked paprika, dried oregano and thyme that have been sitting in my store cupboard since I was about 10 years of age. But they make a really nice peri-peri seasoning. And I add some onion powder, which is kind of like MSG style. It adds a real depth of flavour to any seasoning. And then what I do is I get that onto the chicken, I get it into the oven, and as it's in the oven, I make a very quick sauce with tomatoes and dried chilies and a little bit of honey and vinegar, and I just brush it onto the chicken at the end, and you have this beautiful peri-peri roast chicken breast. Then with the bones left over, you can make a stock if you want to make a soup or risotto next day, and all of a sudden you're stretching one chicken that costs you $8.50 to three dishes.
Three meals.
Which is what we have to do in the restaurant, particularly in this day and age, to try and make every cent count.
You see, I've always found it difficult to accept that because I buy a chicken, roast it, and it's all gone. But there's five of us in the house. I just think a chicken is hard to stretch unless you really know what you're doing. But
yeah,
you're doing it or you have done it in a restaurant kitchen. It is possible. It's just knowing what you're doing.
If you're doing a roast chicken at the weekend, say, buy a big chicken or buy two if you've got hungry family, and what you do is you take all the meat off and then everyone's left. Roast chicken's really messy. Mm. We've all had the tray once the chicken's been picked apart with all the bits.
Yeah.
But then there'll often be jelly and fat and skin
bits.
And bits. So what I do with that is I throw it all in a pot at either the next day from the fridge or as I'm cleaning up, and then it's one less tray I have to clean up. Throw it into a pot, fill it up with cold water and let it bubble away for about 4 hours. And you know those chicken little jelly stock pots you can get?
Yes.
That'll go in there as well, just to give it a bit of oomph. And then all I do before I go to bed or the next morning is I just pass it through a sieve. Now I get rid of my bones, they can go into the bin. And all of a sudden I have this incredible broth. And what I'll do at that point, say it's a Monday, I'll throw in root veg, I'll throw in barley, any greens, any leftover herbs from the fridge, might even add some extra chicken breast. And all of a sudden I have a Monday meal that's treated almost like a restaurant sauce. And you've got an extra lunch or meal out of it. It's all those small details that if you save, say, €10 a week and multiply that by 52 weeks of the year, by however many years, it makes a difference.
It's knowing how to do it. This listener puts the entire slab of mince from the pack into a hot pan, browns one side, then turns over the whole lot in one piece and then breaks it up.
Yeah, that will work as well.
Will it?
I've done that. It'll work. It just means that the bit that's in the middle that isn't hitting the pan, you're losing out on a bit of colour there. But exactly, even if you can get that amount of colour on both sides, mm-hmm. makes a difference. And I've seen recipes where you can actually put the mince on a tray in the oven if you don't want the smoke alarm going off on a hot pan.
Yeah.
And you can cook it at like 220 for...
Be brave, people. Be brave
Go
with your
it.
Mince. Mark, thanks so much. Always great to see you. So Mark's new programme, Cook Like a Chef, the first episode is on RTE One Television this Wednesday, the 14th of May at 8:30. Enjoy it. It's a great watch.